Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Secrets of the Sire. We talk comics, movies, TV, and pop culture every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc, and streaming live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter under Secrets of the Sire, S-I-R-E. I am your host, Michael Dolce. Tonight, Captain Marvel, trailer truth or trash, Daredevil canceled, and we bring on Bubba the Redneck Werewolf creator, Mitch Hyman. I am your host, Michael Dolce, as always, joined by my co-host extraordinaire, Mr. Hassan Godwin. How are you doing, sir?
Does that mean I'm extraordinary, or just like the co-host position is extraordinary?
It's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I mean, like, that chair is excellent.
The chair is, okay, so the chair is extraordinary.
Yes,
the All chair right, is understood. Extraordinary. Whoever's sitting in the chair is by default, an item of extraordinary.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Pretty much. Like, right. You hold a place.
All right. So I won't get a big head about it. All right.
No, cool. No, not in that chair. Especially we have other guests.
Yeah, I don't even have like lumbar support in this chair.
Yeah. We'll talk to Sam about that. The chairs are inferior.
We'll get right on that.
We have a great show tonight. As I kind of mentioned, Captain Marvel trailer. What did you think? What's your first reaction?
Right out of the gate with that.
We're before we do the trailer, truth or trash? Because I have a point to make about it. About
what
that
did
movie.
I think there was a trailer.
Yeah.
for a movie, for a big blockbuster movie come that may or may not be a blockbuster.
Oh, okay.
It looks interesting. I don't know anything about Captain Marvel.
That's a great point you just made right out of the gate, though. Whether or not it will actually be a blockbuster, it'll be a blockbuster because it's coming out. In February, there's not much of anything else going on. It's a Marvel movie.
I know. I think the narrative on it already is that it's not going to be a big deal, or it's going to be the first like Marvel flop or the first dud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even though they're ignoring Thor: Dark World or Iron Man 2.
That's
I
good
mean,
point.
Marvel's
yeah.
had a couple of them, but people tend to forget that we've had an ebb and flow kind of situation.
Sure.
So, you know, I think people are set up to be disappointed by this one. I think the trailer supposedly is lackluster. I don't know. I mean, I knew from the teaser that the old lady was a Skrull, right? That was a big problem with the teaser,
here's
right?
Here's the when thing, she, right? We know that the Skrull, yeah. There was a Skrull in the first one, but most people didn't. So
yeah, people are upset that she punched an old lady in the face.
But you know, here's my question for you though on the topic of, this film franchise though, is that I feel like she's getting the Wonder Woman treatment a little bit. I feel like people are really excited because it's the first female Marvel superhero, and then I watched the trailer and I'm kind of like, all right. I mean, it's cool, but like you read all the interviews with Brie Larson and she's really excited, and there is something to that in the sense that, you know, it's great that Marvel has a female finally starring in her first or the first female starring in something, but I'm kind of feeling like people are getting excited about it for that reason. Meanwhile, I'm looking at this trailer and I'm like, it's okay. Jude Law, good looking guy, good nice shot of him, he's a Kree guy, that's good. Samuel Jackson kind of de-aged. That's kind of neat. But, you know, the rest of it doesn't quite impact. I think our producer for tonight's show is even saying, what was the line at the end?
How was it? I'm not going to fight your war. I'm going to end your war. Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, all right. So this is going to be that kind of, all right. I mean, I don't know. I think there's also leaning on the fact that there's the Skrull and the Kree, you know, to us fanboys is pretty big, but you know, I don't know. Why? Let me answer the question. I'll redirect it this way. Why would you, if you had no context of the Marvel Comics universe, be excited about this movie?
I don't know. If I was excited about space movies, movies about aliens, Sam Jackson, you know, action adventure. It's another Marvel movie. It's an important piece in the eventual Avengers 5 movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, look, I think a lot of the, it's whining. To me, it's whining. A lot of the whining about that stuff is because the marketing is not catering to them. And it's a marketing is catering to other people, clearly. You know, other people are excited about that and they're playing up the market for that.
But isn't there like a sense of it being like they're being patronized in a way too? If that's like the whole reason to go see this movie or make it big,
I'm not in their head. I don't know if they're being patronized. It's up to them to say that they feel like they're
or
being
manipulated.
Patronized.
You know, isn't there like an
well,
angle
all
of
media is manipulative?
That? I guess in a broad sense, that's a good point.
That's not. I mean, you can't call it out for that.
Look, I would sit there and say you look at something like Black Panther, which was historic for a lot of folks, but at the same time was just a really awesome movie, and everything leading up to it made it look like, hey, this is. I'm actually getting really excited to see this. And then it delivers when you actually get in there. Wonder Woman had a lot of similar hype leading up to it, where it was like...
It might not be a good movie. It might not have...
It's like Wonder Woman had a lot of hype leading up to it. The movie was good. It wasn't great. To me, it didn't live up to expectations in the sense of what I thought from the trailer. It came close up until the third act, which is kind of what our guest Jeff Gomez had said last year, or a year and 2 years ago now, when he was kind of talking about Wonder Woman prior to the movie having come out.
Understood.
But it was still like good enough. In this, I'm like, how people are getting excited, and I'm like, I'm looking at both these things, and I'm kind of like...
Eh. How excited do you think that women get for, say...
Greg Horn excited? Greg Land excited?
Mission Impossible.
Yeah, I
you know?
Agree with that.
A testosterone-driven, explodey kind of movie. Mm-hmm. Not catering to them by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you think
past, it used to be boyfriends dragging girlfriends to the movies, and now it's different. Girlfriends are are now wanting to, you know, be the driving force behind it. So I agree with that.
I mean, this is the biggest problem with Ghostbusters was that it wasn't a funny movie.
Yes.
If it was a good movie,
yes,
nobody would care about how it was marketed.
Yes.
You know? Or the marketing would have been genius because it's like, oh, it recognized its audience and it, you know, and it pulled in its, it, you know, it was trying to pull in its audience. If the movie was good.
Yes.
So, I mean, taking umbrage with certain ways that certain things are displayed or, you know, I mean, it's just genre serving. It's trying to get as many people as possible into the genre so that the genre has staying power.
Mm-hmm.
And if people get upset about how the depiction of the next upcoming episode is being sold to them.
Well, hang on. Let me cut in for two seconds, though. Let me cut in for 2 seconds. I don't think there's any element of the trailer that feels like it's pandering to a specific audience or a specific gender. I don't think anything Marvel is doing necessarily
what are we talking about?
Well, it's not what Marvel's doing. I think it's what the reaction that I read when I go on social media, people are very excited for this film.
So then it's working.
If
you're saying that Marvel itself isn't doing anything in particular and the trailer itself isn't trying to do anything in particular,
right,
but
it's
people are excited about it.
But the people are excited because it's the first female hero. It's almost like the people have come in and created this narrative based off of this.
Why is it a narrative
aspect to it?
I mean, it is going to be their first female hero.
Yeah, but there's a narrative buildup around that statement. You know, where all of a sudden it becomes people talking about how, you know, talking about that rather than what they're actually seeing on the screen. Like, I don't see people being like, you know, Captain Marvel really looks like a great movie, or boy, I can't wait for this or that. I'm seeing like, it's really great that Marvel's doing this. It's really amazing. It's great that Brie Larson's really breaking ground. And I'm sitting there saying, okay, so they're talking about the act of it being the first Marvel female to lead a picture by herself rather than what we're actually seeing on screen or talking about the movie itself. I don't think anybody even knows. I think the people who are kind of behind that narrative have no context to know how exciting it is to bring the Skrulls and the Kree into this. We're comic book geeks. We know this stuff, and we're excited maybe because of that aspect of the story, or maybe not us particularly, but there are people out there who are like, I can't wait for this. I'm just wondering about, you know, how excited can you get for something that you don't really know anything about, and at the same time, it's talking about, you know, are they really getting excited for the movie, or are they getting excited for the ramifications politically and or socially for this?
What's your question?
Are they getting? I thought I asked a convoluted question.
You're kind of all over the place with that. I mean, if that's what the people are kind of anticipating about it, how can Marvel help that?
No.
If Marvel is not pushing that narrative and the people are making that narrative for themselves,
yes,
then how can that be helped? I mean, what is?
Oh, I'm not saying it can be helped, and I think because Marvel's not the one pushing it, you're not seeing the kind of like.
Well, there's a lot
vitriol.
Of backlash already. There's a lot
of
vitriol.
Yeah, but there's
going
to be some vitriol. But like Ghostbusters had that vitriol because I think the marketing was very direct. Like, ha, come see the first female Ghostbusters movie. You know, whereas Marvel's like, hey, yeah, we're really happy to do this. This is great. You know, even though Wasp was technically co-headlined the movie, so she would be technically the first female to be in the headline of the movie. This is the first solo female to be in a movie. It feels to me the online reaction, though, is more about that than what we're actually seeing in the trailer. Like, if I was to do Trailer Truth or Trash, which we are going to do for this particular film, I actually go Trailer Trash. I think the trailer itself is not living up to anything. Not that I had expectations that were great, but I'm not looking at it going, boy, I really can't. Like, Black Panther, I looked at it, I was like, man, I'm getting excited to see this movie.
I don't understand what your question to me is, though.
I'm asking you to comment. Do you feel that the movie's getting the Wonder Woman treatment, and is it justifiable?
But we already established that it's not getting that treatment, right?
Okay.
Because Wonder Woman was marketed specifically as, you know, the first female superhero, blah blah blah, right?
Even though it wasn't.
But we already said that Marvel isn't doing that.
Yes.
So it's not. So the
but
answer
what about,
is no.
What's your reaction to the online response to it, though, that people are building that up?
To be honest, I don't really care what other people think about the movie. You know, if they're excited, that's a positive.
Yeah.
Regardless of what they're excited about. If they're happy to go see it or they're looking forward to it, that's always a positive. That's good for the genre. If they're negative about it, which they will eventually be, you know, because it always turns into that, then that's going to be bad for the genre. And, you know, I mean, the discussions will come depending on what exactly they become negative about. If they're positive, I don't really care what they're positive about as long as they're being positive about it.
All right. When we come back, I want to know, Trailer Truth or Trash, Hassan, what did you think? Captain Marvel, where does it go?
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Find us on facebook.com/secretsofthesire. Go look at our videos. Go to youtube.com/secretsofthesire. Download our podcast on iTunes. You know, all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can hear our opinions about Last Jedi and the newer Star Wars.
Right.
Or in
don't.
This particular
which
case.
Which might make you feel better, depending on your feelings of The Last Jedi.
Reverse psychology. Well done.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We talk comics, movies, TV, and pop culture. We are running the Captain Marvel trailer through the Trailer Truth or Trash game that we like to play, and we've got a couple comments. Dan Lawson, the casting is lackluster. The only reason people want to see that is that it ties in with the MCU. Yes, that is an opinion, as Hassan and I were arguing off camera or off
Didn't even know what we were
radio.
Talking about off camera.
I'm revealing it. But it's an opinion I tend to agree with that I feel is, through though we cannot
everybody.
Qualify it.
Everybody.
That we
the,
cannot
the
qualify
The only reason everybody who's anybody is going to go
now,
see this movie.
Now, he didn't say every single person. He said the reason people want to see
people.
It is because it's the MCU.
So he didn't give a metric of...
He did not
of,
give an exact metric.
The only reason people are going to see the only reason people are going to see this movie is because it's an MCU movie, right? The
that,
only reason people are going to see
yes,
this movie.
Yes, that is one of the main reasons why people are excited to go see this movie.
The only reason people take the train is because they're afraid of buses. Right?
That is not correct.
Exactly.
He is saying the only reason, though, in this particular case, is
it's
that
not correct.
Said,
it's
yes,
an incorrect
obviously,
statement.
Obviously. Okay, so let's rephrase his own opinion for him. The number one reason people are going to want to see this movie is because it's an MCU movie. Is that he believes that. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
What
is your opinion?
I disagree with that being the number one reason.
What's the number one reason people want to go see this movie?
I don't know, because they want to go see the movie.
That's not a reason. If you had to give if you were giving a quantifiable metric, you were doing a what do you call it when they do these case studies help me out, focus groups, like things like that.
Isn't the number one reason you'd see any MCU movie is because it's an MCU movie?
Yes.
So that's not even a statement of interest in this particular situation.
I think at the end of the day, let's say we did not have a weekly show every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Go to youtube.com/secretsofthesire. Subscribe to us, please, because we really appreciate that. Let's say we did not have that kind of show.
We could be wishful.
And so we are not bound and required to go see these movies so we can talk about them. I would skip Captain Marvel. I would wait for it. Ant-Man, originally, even when I did have a show, the first Ant-Man, I skipped until I waited.
So what does that mean?
Because we actually ended up, it was like July 4th weekend, we didn't end up
You skipped
about it
anyway. And then pretended you saw it, though.
No, we didn't do an Ant-Man one. Ant-Man 2, we did, and I was there for that. But I guess my point is, would you go see Captain Marvel if you didn't have to for this show? And then if so, what's your number and reason for going to see it? Because it's the next
I don't
chapter.
Know anything about Captain Marvel, and I know it ties into... the outcome of Infinity War 5. So and they've arranged it like this for a particular reason. Mm-hmm. If I'm following the narrative of the MCU in general, which mm-hmm. is done in a serialized manner, then that's just like missing an episode or skipping a chapter.
Sure. What's your reaction? Let's do a compare and contrast. Captain Marvel to a lot of people, complete unknown.
Would you skip it? That's a different question, though.
When people think about Captain Marvel, they actually, most people think about Shazam at DC because they don't know the difference. This is, you know, the non-initiated.
Most people don't know that Shazam is called Captain Marvel.
Right. Well, I think it's about 50-50, I would say.
Well, the average person,
opinion you just gave.
Comic book fans know it, but most, like the average person on the street doesn't know it.
No, I think Captain Marvel is because there's enough people that saw the old cartoon and even in like the comic strip was in the newspaper. I mean, we're talking about older generations now. We're not talking about necessarily like people who are 12 years old, but, you know, people who are in, yeah. Sam took offense to it, but.
Sam didn't know. There's people who don't know. If you're not a comic book fan, you're always going to attribute him to being Shazam.
Yeah.
As the movie is called Shazam.
Well, now it is. Yes, now it is. But trust me, there's a syndicate of people who are... You know,
I don't understand. I find that funny because I watched the Shazam trailer and I'm absolutely unimpressed with it.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely disinterested in seeing anything about it. And I watched the Captain Marvel trailer.
Yeah.
And even though I am not as... enthralled as I was for Infinity War or another Captain America movie,
mm-hmm.
I'm still interested in seeing it. I want to see how it all ties in. And there have been doubts before, like same with Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like, okay, yeah, but this is where they're going to stumble. You know, yeah. This is where they're going to fall off. And they didn't. or Ant-Man. It's like, okay, they're never going to be able to pull off an Ant-Man movie with the same caliber as they pull off some of these other movies. It's not gonna live up to it, and it does. So even if I have a twinge of like, I don't know,
yeah,
you know, it's not drawing me out from my, you know, from my safe space to go see the film, I still have I still have the good faith. It still has built up the good faith over 17 movies, so like 21 movies or 17 years or something like that.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'd probably give it a shot.
Yeah.
So
Joe Mulvey made a good point, 90s nostalgia. The fact that it's set in the 90s, too.
Yeah, but that's not a draw
MCU
for me.
MCU movie plus 90s nostalgia plus lust for anything connected to Infinity War Part 2 plus female superhero plus Oscar-winning actress equals peaked general audience's interest.
There you go. And there are several reasons there. You can
number
pick any one,
though,
of those.
Is MCU movie, according to him.
But there are a number of reasons. So I'm saying to say the reason that people are going to do this is because of this is an unquantifiable statement.
The number one reason, though, what is your
if
opinion?
It said number one,
but I'm saying, what is your number one reason you think that people are seeing it out of that?
It's probably because of MCU.
Yeah. And not because of what we saw. I would legitimately say one of the weakest trailers I've seen personally.
For Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Trash or truth?
Nah.
Weakest Marvel trailer.
Trash.
Okay, so you think it was actually a good trailer in terms of
I don't know if it was a good trailer. The greatest trailer I ever saw was to the worst movie I've ever seen. Which was Pearl Harbor. The Pearl Harbor trailer for Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor was one of the most beautiful trailers I've ever seen. It was a teaser. And the movie itself was ghastly. So, you know, how much credence you're going to put into a trailer is its own thing. The trailer for... I was totally against The Amazing Spider-Man. Because it was a reboot from the Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
Sure.
And then I saw a trailer.
Yeah.
But it was a theatrical trailer.
Yeah.
So I was in the movie theater to go see something else, and I saw the theatrical trailer for Amazing Spider-Man. And I said, it doesn't look so bad.
Yeah.
And so I went to see the movie. But that didn't... I've never been, you know, clutched by a trailer. I got to go see this movie. With the exception, as we said, of Valerian.
Yeah.
And again, we see how that turned out.
All right.
So, no.
All right. All right. We're going to move on real quick to another week.
Thank God.
A weak, weak move.
I honestly think the Shazam trailer is way weaker.
Oh, good God. I thought the Shazam trailer was...
But it's full of all this weird nostalgic... not nostalgic. It's full of all this weird, crappy, contemporary gag humor and stuff. And it just looked like, oh, all right. If I didn't know anything about this character... It didn't grab me to go see, and I really don't know a lot about. I know about the cartoon Shazam, but
yeah.
I don't know a lot about the actual cartoon. I mean, the comic book. So it didn't make me want to grow. Wow, this is going to be great. Not like Aquaman. Aquaman totally makes me want to see that film. And due to all the bad faith that DCEU has from some of its other editions, that's saying something. Especially for Aquaman. You know, I mean, you could see how Aquaman could be kind of messed up.
I thought Shazam was kind of cool in that, especially it's a DC hero. You're kind of seeing him in a different way. So I actually don't think that's I thought it was actually a pretty good trailer when all was said and done.
That's fair. That's a difference of opinion, though.
Yeah,
see?
It's fact on the show. All right.
If you say so.
Well, that's the beauty of voting
if you like being
show.
Wrong, then follow Dolce.
Daredevil canceled. People were in an uproar about this. This is from Hollywood Reporter that Daredevil canceled at Netflix as Marvel roster shrinks to two. The streaming giant has canceled Daredevil, the first of its Marvel shows to premiere on its platform after three seasons. The drama starring Charlie Cox is the third Marvel series to be canceled in recent weeks, joining Iron Fist and Luke Cage. Only Jessica Jones and The Punisher remain. Obviously, a lot of people were upset about this. People have been talking about this for a long time during the week. However, I don't necessarily want to talk about that because I think we all see where this is going. Let me ask you a question, though. Do you see this as Netflix just kind of cutting its losses at this point, knowing that they're eventually going to lose all these shows to Disney and not wanting to bolster their lineup, or is there something more going on?
I don't know. There's something. It seems like something more is going on by the way they're doing it.
You think?
You know, because I mean, like, if they really wanted to just cut bait because of the, they would have announced it as the final season to get everybody to, you know, to come running to it, like watch the final event, watch the, you know.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they did this like on a Friday night in the evening,
in the dark.
Yeah. They came and stabbed it in the back in the dark.
Yeah.
It's, there's something personal about it. It seems like, or feels like that.
Fabian Nicieza had an interesting take on this. I posted on my Facebook page for all the world to see, just to kind of give people a little glimpse preview of what's to come. He said it's because Netflix is a subscriber based,
yeah, I saw that,
industry, or platform, and so their sole interest is finding new subscribers, not placating to.
You called me into that, but I wasn't getting involved. Ah,
you
in
should have.
I wasn't going to get involved in it.
Well, I actually complimented you.
I don't know if it was a compliment or a taunt. So that's
a little bit column A.
You know? That's why I said, you know what, a little bit interested.
but I saw what you were saying.
There's some truth to that. Look, here's a completely unpopular opinion. Those shows, they don't really deserve.
You said that in the car on the way down here, and I'm like, really?
There has been one big criticism about all those shows from the beginning. Mm-hmm. They're too long.
Yeah.
They're too long, and they just defiantly refuse to do anything about that. They insist on these shows should be like these gritty soap opera dramas,
yeah,
and love dramas, and which is fine. I don't mind about that, but they're definitely pushing the genre, mm-hmm, in one direction as opposed to another direction.
Sure.
The other direction may or may not be the right direction, but they're definitely pushing away from it as opposed to trying to do something even and balanced. It's a superhero show. You know, very rarely in the Jessica Jones shows, very rarely did she fly or use her powers. Like every now and then you'd watch her do something. You're like, oh yeah, she's got superpowers. She's super strong. But it wasn't like a showcase, which was fine for the first few episodes, but as you get into the weeds, when you're getting into episode 8 and 9, and you're like, okay, can we do something here? Can we wrap this up? Can we get this moving? It just kind of slogs, and all the shows are like that.
Yeah,
every one of them is like that.
Well, I'm sure the gentleman who's going to join us next has an opinion on that as well too, and he's going to come and talk about Bubba the Redneck Werewolf and his new project he's coming up. We got Mitch Hyman when we come back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Do you know how long it's been since I've been wanting to just sacrifice all your
myself?
Beliefs
yeah,
just for the show?
To give up all my beliefs? Well, I actually don't really have any beliefs, which is why it's been so hard for you to find out what my beliefs are to get me to betray them. I'm kind of a nihilist. I don't really believe in anything except for sandwiches.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We talk comics, movies, TV, pop culture. Just real quick, talking about the Daredevil cancellations again. Alicia Davis chimes in. She thinks Marvel's behind it. Why else would they stop a show with a huge following? I actually don't think it's Disney's decision necessarily. Why would Disney want them to stop it? They wouldn't, because it's going to lead right into the point when they release their streaming service, and then they're going to scoop those shows right back up into their own streaming service. I think it's Netflix. I think Netflix is cutting off.
Yeah, I totally believe that it was Netflix.
Yeah, and I think Netflix is basically saying, okay, we're not. Why would we be helping Disney build their streaming service in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, Netflix has to be careful, though, because that's their brand is not indestructible.
Yeah,
it's not infallible. So they have to kind of be careful about how they tread on their subscribers. You know, if they could take take or leave things that easily without any kind of explanation or kind of a conciliatory statement, at least to the fans, that could be trouble down the road. They still have goodwill, but that could be trouble as we go on.
All right. Well, joining us tonight, someone who has no problems about his brand, Mr. Mitch Hyman. How you doing, sir?
Hi, it's Mitch Hyman. Yes, the shameless self-promoter himself.
No, you're not shameless.
C.D. Steinberg. What now?
You're not shameless. You have much shame. There's much shame.
He's not going to need our help for this interview.
No shame, no guilt, no attorneys, no trace. I'm doing this from the underpass over by SeaWorld in Orlando. Give you an idea how much I don't care. Seriously, I got a brand new. I couldn't get a refrigerator box from a big box store. I got this one from the 75-inch smart TV. Unfortunately, the last thing that was smart inside this box was the TV, not me.
How do you go ahead from there? I just don't know. I don't know how you do. All right, Mitch. Before we get into the new project that you want to talk about, give our audience who may or may not be familiar with your work, Bubba the Redneck Werewolf.
Well, here comes their punishment for Krampus Knot right there. It's a perfect name to talk about something eerie, and I'm it. What I did was basically take my comic book that I've had since 1996, and I was able to make an independent film that later on went to most popular on Hulu. It's on Amazon. It's now in Europe, streaming in Europe. It's been on DVD, Blu-ray. It's all over the place. And it goes to show you that independent film has changed a lot. You don't have to rely on the Hollywood system as much as you used to be able to get something out there into everyone's hands. And it's fascinating to see what happens with people now being more innovative and now even linking up sometimes with Hollywood to push further forward, because a lot of the great thing about the independent guys is that they're very innovative. We have to do guerrilla tactics. And the Hollywood guys, I went out to the studios, and I met with some higher ends from certain studios. Even got a letter of recommendation from one. I'm like laughing, going, okay, you're going to turn me loose with this? Great. The thing is, we're trying to show now is that people can create. You can take an iPhone. You can take almost anything. Just do proof of concept. If you have an idea, you think it'll work, a five-minute something and show people it can work, and believe me, get it out on YouTube, go to the film festivals, you'll get noticed. And that's exactly what we did. So I'm really pleased with what's going on.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, and it's also, I mean, it also helps to have, like, a great concept, which is what you have in Bubba the Redneck Werewolf, kind of tying in, that kind of brand and releasing it. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't list, look at the title and go, well, all right, I got to check this out. It definitely helps to do that. My burning question, though, is how long does it take you to get into that devil makeup? Because that thing just looks painful right there.
It's amazing. Actually, the makeup is done by a friend of mine, Michael Davey, who is the protege of Dick Smith. And it's very interesting. We'll talk about Dick Smith, who was the makeup artist on The Exorcist. We'll get to that a little later on. Mm-hmm. Very strange to provenance here. But it takes about an hour and a half to do the devil. And not to do that sounds wrong. Okay,
that's like an album title right there. I think right. Like we have an album title.
To get out of it, use the sandblasting and 500 grit sandpaper and Orville sander. It's great. How exfoliating can you get?
Awesome. All right, talk to us about the new project that you're working on. You were very excited when we talked off air a few weeks ago. The Dutchman, A House Possessed. You know, what is this, and why are, like, what gets you so excited about this this concept here?
It's an actual untold tale. Well, it was published once in a college newspaper, William Patterson University, back in 1974, but it has never seen the light of day until now. The gentleman involved was a journalist who was at the college, and he was taking certain courses in sciences and things like that, but he worked for the school newspaper. And the Warrens were part of a Halloween festival they had going on at the school.
So wait, for people who don't know, who are the Warrens? What makes them...
The Warrens are probably the most world-famous paranormal investigators. You had people like Hans Holzer, but you had the Warrens who really rose to the top. They've been involved in things like the Amityville Horror, Annabelle, The Conjuring. There are just dozens and dozens of these cases, plus mm-hmm. they're also the people who did possess the Black Museum. Black Museum was something that was filled with arcane objects that even the Catholic Church had warned them when things were all said and done, when they passed away, somebody should burn everything. They never did. So a lot of those objects are now in other families' hands, and my friend John said he's been there, and you just don't want to see what's in that museum.
Wow.
We're going to leave it right there.
Wow. That's creepy.
This story is a story that never got told. Now, we all know about the Conjuring and Annabelle and a large franchise that Warner Brothers has brilliantly done. And we all know that they had a lawsuit involving another writer who said that he had the copyrights and all the other problems. It turned out that they did settle the suit, and it's fascinating. If you want to, go online. You can Google this. Just go, Conjuring lawsuit settled, and you'll find some very fascinating information about what went on. This story, however, was never part of that canon, and elements of this story were actually kind of used in the other films.
Mm-hmm.
Because, unfortunately, as time went on, Ed passed away, and Lorraine became a bit non-compos mentis. Dementia, she was getting older, a lot of things weren't clear to her anymore. But she was giving out fragments of stories, there were bits and pieces, and they strung a lot of it together to make, you know, as we do in Hollywood a lot of times in film, we'll take one concept, add it to another, and make a more fulsome project. What I have is straight from the gut, scary as hell, and my friend has been living with this since 1974. He even became a combat photographer and wound up in El Salvador. He wound up in Kosovo. He worked for the Howard Stern Show. He worked for NBC. He worked for a lot of different people trying to escape what he saw all those years ago. It is one of the most horrifying tales you've ever heard.
Well, now you got
to tell us. And that's what we plan to try to bring to the screen.
Well, now you got to tell us what it is.
It started on the William Patterson University campus. There's a place there called Hobart Mansion, and it's well documented. It's haunted. There are over 300,000 Google hits on this.
Yeah.
And it started out that the Warrens were brought in to investigate the mansion. Well, they went to go investigate the mansion, and they found a few things there, but nothing really horrifying. On the way out, they were met by another professor who taught the school, and he discussed that there was a family in a nearby town that had been having some very serious problems, especially centering around their middle daughter, who was about 12 to 13 at the time. So the Warrens agreed to go investigate. They asked John if he'd like to go along. Well, John checked with his editor, and the funniest thing is his editor at the school newspaper is now a United States appellate judge somewhere. And the other person that put him onto it, the professor who was in charge, went on to become a very well-known journalist.
So they sold their souls.
Sent there by vetted people. Now, you got to remember, John also got a master's degree from Columbia and a doctorate from Rutgers University. So he is a professor. So this is not just somebody sitting in a storefront with Madame Zoltar. This guy actually went with Lorraine into the fray. And I can tell you this much. They walked into the house. They were there for about 10 minutes. Lorraine collapsed. John got hit with something, and he had to drag her out of the house.
Wow.
She later on couldn't complete the investigation because of not only this, Ed was very upset by the whole thing. She never got hit this hard before. But they also had several other incidents to go check out. And remember, 1974, that was Amityville.
Yeah.
A lot of other things were going on at that time.
They were busy.
So the Warrens left John to finish the investigation. And he wound up in a world you can't even be described.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, that's what we like to call a tease in the business. What are the next...
This way.
Go ahead.
One more thing, though. John had a private conversation with Lorraine that I don't think Ed even knew about.
Mm-hmm.
She propositioned something propose something, a hypothesis, that now has been almost, it's almost been verified by people like Stephen Hawking and many other physicists about interdimensional travel, beings we don't understand, and possession. And that's another aspect we're going to take. Plus, this tale centers around murder, suicide, mayhem, lust, greed, and dark magic that might even involve the whole crew that was running around with Aleister Crowley back in the 1890s.
Okay. Well, that's like a little...
Oh, I don't know how much of a better story we can give you. That's pretty loaded.
Hassan is
literally shaking right now. Like, I can tell. He's actually motionless. But
yeah,
that
you
is
can see
his
me on the camera how I'm shaking.
Yeah, you actually put you on there so that I can see. What's the next steps for this film? Like, you know, you did it all yourself with Bubba. Is it another kind of do it grassroots guerrilla style yourself, or is there something larger going on now?
There's a couple of different ways we're going to approach this. It's very interesting. I just came back from Atlanta and doing the IMAX, which is the International Makeup Artist Trade Show. And, you know, you have a lot of very famous makeup artists who work on projects like everything from Harry Potter to Guardians of the Galaxy. They're all there. They're all looking at makeups. But these guys are all special effects guys. They're fascinated by any, let's say, a tale like this. Well, I'm going to do a conversation with one gentleman who actually worked on a blockbuster Oscar-winning project. And he was fascinated with it, and so he's taking it now to discuss it with some other people. Now, they're not the United States, because, let's face it, you can make a film anywhere in the world. I'm distributed by a company in London for Europe, so we're talking to a few different countries. They all have a vibrant film industry. They're well-known for their movies.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting to me is that he's not the only one. I've had two or three other people now want to take this out further. So I'm right now shopping it. I want to see who's interested. I would not even be opposed even if Warner wanted to come in mm-hmm. and pick this up, because I would be happy to make it and partner with somebody. I'd be happy to make it myself. Or at this point, because this thing is so vicious, if someone wants to buy it, the price is right, they can have it.
Because I like
after
it.
What we went through to pull this off, it required me bringing in a dark witch to control something that got a little out of hand. We were sitting there trying to get the facts down. We started uncovering some things we should not probably have uncovered.
Did you shoot it as a documentary?
The making of? Looked at it both ways. And because of all that Dr. Catapano has been through, we feel the best thing to do is to tell this story and to tell the message that the witch got a communication from, let's just say, another realm. And the message is very simple, and that's the message known to this movie. Do not play with Ouija boards. Not have seances. Tapping into energies and things you may understand. That's even what Lorraine was talking about.
Oh, man. All right, Mitch, you've sufficiently whetted our appetites and possibly our pants.
We're scared the hell out of everybody. I'm not sure if anybody's
here. Yeah. Tell everyone where they can find you online, and there's a new Bubba comic coming out, right?
Yep, there's a brand new Bubba coming out. It should be either the January or the February previews. This one's called The Unmaking of the Bubba Movie, where I basically do a parody of the whole filming of nonsense went on to make the film in the first place. And my publisher's putting out a gold foil edition, a silver foil edition, I think a tin foil edition that you can probably make into a hat, and a lot of my fans should really think about doing that because you see my fans. But the thing is, there's going to be new Bubbas coming out. I also have other books. I do novels. I've done video MOOCs, which are The Hitmen of the Supernatural, and you can find them on Amazon. And if you want to find any more about me, just simply go to www.themitchhyman.com. Spell my name out fully, MitchHyman, using two H's, .com. You'll find information on the Dutchman, the MOOC, Bubba, and just the things that wander through my head.
Well, that's a dark, dark place.
Some of those things are things they really should make movies about, but then again, I don't feel like someone's out of jail. Anyway, moving on.
Mitch, as always, a pleasure. I'll catch you in the convention season, the convention circuit as well. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely a pleasure. Mike, thank you for attending the International Film Panel in San Diego that I was on with the other gentleman from Mexico.
Anytime,
man. I thought it was brilliant. And remember, don't worry about borders. Worry about telling stories.
Oh.
Stories go past borders. Okay.
I like it.
So everybody out there, create, make, have some fun. Okay?
Awesome. When we come back, we'll dive back into the Daredevil debate. We'll talk about the worst TV cancellations ever, and we'll go spinning the racks.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Can a man actually get up with any kind of macho manliness and say Twilight was a good film franchise and or movie? That's like the guy wearing the pink shirt, right? Like,
yeah,
he feels completely confident.
But men can rock the pink.
Wait.
Sam the engineer is wearing pink. Right.
I just pulled a Hassan.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire, talking comics, movies, TV, and pop culture. I want to thank our guest, Mitch Hyman, again. Terrific
for
stuff.
Scaring as, us.
Oh, you, for scaring us. You know, when you're, you know, it's like you're motionless, mm-hmm. usually, but there's a different air of motionless that you were in that particular segment. Like, there was a, I could look, like, you're like, oh, snap.
That's just real. Why did people do that to themselves? Oh, yeah, this place is haunted. Let's go inside, spend the night. Why?
I know.
Why? I don't understand why.
Because you can.
There's bears in the woods. Yeah, let's go find a bear. Why?
We're going on a bear hunt. All right. Before Mitch jumped on, we were talking Daredevil cancellation. I thought it was kind of neat when we were talking about this, though, too, to talk about what are the worst TV cancellations you could possibly think of. The first one that comes to mind for me is Angel. The show Angel. I thought that was one of the worst. That was like a premature cancellation. Season 5, even though we could do an entire show on why you think season 4 is awful. I think season 4 was terrific. Season 5 was a little inconsistent for my liking. But the Angel Spike dynamic, like, we needed at least one more year of that. And even WB, I guess it was UPN at that point. It was CW because they just turned to CW. Even the executives were like, yeah, we messed up. We should have renewed that show. Right.
Yeah, and then by then, Boreanaz was in Bones, and he was in Bones for like the next 100 years. He's like, I'm not coming back. There's no way. Like, good work, guys. Thanks for my career. I mean, I didn't like season 4, but it's okay.
Carnival was another one.
Carnival, definitely. Deadwood, right? Deadwood.
Here's my thing about Carnival.
Deadwood.
Yes, Carnival should have gotten extended just for the fact that they were telling a story and it got cut off.
Deadwood.
But it took two seasons and nothing happened on that damn show.
Second season, a lot happened. The first season was very slow. Second season, quite a lot happened.
Yeah.
And the guy didn't even know what he was doing because he wasn't a showrunner. He had come up with the idea, come up with the concept, and I think he wrote the pilot, and he was trying to sell the pilot, and HBO was like, hey, this is great. Why don't you make a show out of it? And he was like, what?
That's like my wife's biggest fear. Like, I'm writing a TV pilot right now. And I told her, I was like, yeah, I wouldn't want to really be a staff writer in the show. I'd really want to just sell the show. And And she's just like, you know, it's gonna.
Yeah. It's like the same, it's the Lindelof thing with Lost, you know, and they came up with Lost, and then Abrams said, so you're going to run the show, right? And he was like, well, I don't know how to do anything.
What?
But in the case of Carnival, like, the guy did actually quality work, but he worked really slow for the first season, and the second season, they were like, you gotta step it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And the second season is way faster.
Yeah.
But he didn't know what he was doing, you know? And then it just kind of comes to a really abrupt conclusion. There's some really great stuff in that second season.
Yeah, no, there was really there was some fantastic cool, there stuff. Was some cool things in that. Deadwood really?
And then utilizing the 1930s as a backdrop for magical, you know, like that's...
it's just such a good fit.
Yeah, it really was beautiful. Deadwood was way too soon. Rome,
I could actually...
Rome, way too soon.
I can get behind that. Yeah,
way,
I can get behind
way
that.
Way too soon. It was just like, what are you guys doing? Yeah. You know? There's so many of them. There's Revolution from NBC. I really enjoyed that.
I do remember that.
I was going somewhere.
I do remember that.
That's
Favreau's
vehicle from a while ago. And they were like, yeah, you know what? Stop it. You know?
I do remember that.
Daredevil?
Luke Cage. Well, I don't think those were poor cancellations.
I don't think Daredevil was a poor cancellation, as a matter of fact.
You saw
that third season. Did you see the third season yet? No. And that's why you don't agree with me.
I haven't seen it in full.
But
you're right.
You
haven't seen it in full yet. I haven't seen it yet in full.
By the time you get to episode 8, you're like, wait a minute. There's 2 episodes left and we haven't done a thing yet.
If you're watching this on the Facebook feed, facebook.com/secretsofthesire, we comment throughout the week. So even if you're not here on the live broadcast, chime in on what shows you think got canceled too soon. We will chime in throughout the week. youtube.com/secretsofthesire. Same thing. We had some nice comments on our last video as well, too, which you chime back and forth. Apparently Starscream will be in the movie, you know, which...
So, yeah, nonsense.
Go to our YouTube page.
Abundantly clear what I was talking about, about the fact that the character that looked like Starscream wasn't going to be called Starscream. That was the main point.
Yeah.
But, you know, the internet is a terrible place.
We do this every week. We go spinning the racks to bring you the most important news.
Spin the rack. So you got that right.
In pop culture, bringing you the most fantastical news in pop culture. You know, usually Sam makes like a gesture when he's about to do it. Chris is just...
Chris doesn't care. Chris is like, look, it's not my job. It's not my job to cater to you guys.
He's like the Death Star guy. He's like the Death Star guy, like going to... Like the guy in that
he
helmet.
Literally has his boss looking right over his shoulder, though.
Like
for the entire time, his boss is literally hovering above him. So he's not worried about us at all.
That would imply he's getting paid. All right, here we go.
Oh, boy, that's a different
Shang-Chi movie in development. Marvel's first Asian film superhero franchise. So,
Boy, see, here's this weird thing you do where you're gonna make a big deal about he's the Marvel's first Asian character and you talk about it in that context, but then condemn the idea of it.
I am literally reading you the headline.
I understand, but what are we?
Deadline.com.
What's going to be the point of this discussion?
It's whatever you want it to be.
Well, you go ahead then.
Marvel Studios is fast tracking Shang-Chi to be the first superhero movie tentpole franchise with an Asian protagonist. That is not my...
But you're reading it.
Yes, I'm literally
You've
reading.
Brought it to the attention. You
that
brought
is,
it to the
but
forefront.
But that is Deadline.com who broke the story.
Right.
So that is going straight to the source, and that is how they framed it.
Right.
The studio has set Chinese-American scribe Dave Callahan to write the screenplay, and they are in search for a director of Asian descent.
Mm.
What's your take on...
I think it's fantastic.
Let's
go Asians. Go ethnicity. Go diversity. Go.
You know what the ironic part is? Is that you're actually doing that so that you are trying to extinguish a flame, but by doing that, and people are not going to realize the context of what you're doing, it actually looks like you're mocking
I'm all for diversity. I'm all for that stuff. I agree with you. In some context about the marketing, but I think it's an unavoidable beast because most of the people who are doing the marketing, most people, unfortunately, who do marketing have absolutely no idea of what's going on contemporarily.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weird phenomenon where their job is to connect the product to contemporary enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And they just don't, they're mostly tone deaf, you know, from some of the stuff that we've seen.
The thing about it is like when you read, and look, maybe it's again the bubble we live in, because we have to read press releases, we have to read these things. The thing that always infuriates me, or actually I shouldn't even say infuriates me, the thing that always catches me is that these statements are both the most single, most positive things and most infuriating things at the exact same time. When they sit there and say like they're looking for people of Asian descent, there's like so many triggers that go off in my head. Part of it's like, yeah, that's a great idea, that, you know, you should do that. And then it's like,
but it's like, what triggers for what though? Why?
Emotional triggers. Because that's what it's
designed to do. But that's what needs to be examined. Why do they cause an emotional trigger in you? It doesn't.
I think
it has nothing to do with you.
We're creatures of emotion. I mean, that's what it is.
That you blame it on that. That's interesting. We can control these emotions though. We can get.
Well, you can't control initial reactions.
We can rationalize though.
That's what initial reactions are for though, right?
My initial reactions don't have any kind of.
You feel nothing then.
It's not like I feel nothing, but
you
I absolutely
don't feel.
I don't take them personally.
No, I don't think I take it personally either. But
well,
but
then what would you call it if you had an emotional reaction?
When you have an emotional reaction, you have an emotional reaction. You frame that as getting personally.
Well, I mean, what is the emotional reaction?
I mean, like I said, statements like that give me a dual reaction by contrast.
What are the two reactions?
The one reaction is, hey, this is really great. What an amazing breakthrough. And then simultaneously at the same time, it's like, why does that have to be, like, why is that such a
Why is that such an important thing to point out? Where does that reaction come from, though? What is that reaction about? Why do you care?
The answer is, next week on Secrets of the Sire, we have a really great guest next week, and he's a super secret guest.
Be here as we avoid another breakthrough.
The creator of The Toys That Made Us from Netflix will be joining us next week, and we're going to have talkradio.nyc host Kai Cole in studio with us as well. Jam-packed, last show of the year in the studio. Don't worry, we'll be back streaming the rest of the year, but we won't be in the talk radio studios. We'll be in super secret locations the rest of the month.
Super secret.
When we come back next week. Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin, together we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.